This podcast is a presentation of Sandhills Community Church. For all the latest happenings, check us out at our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.
Do you ever have one of those God moments in your life? A time where you feel God speaking to you directly and you think that your life may never be the same again? This is a memento from one of those times in my life. 2004, I went to Africa. And what made that possible is that the plant I had been working at in Pennsylvania had closed down. I was making vaccines and doing research and development and that kind of thing. They said, hey, here's a big severance package. We'll give you a job at another location. Where would you like to go? And as I thought about it, I said, you know, I'm single. I'm in my 30s. What better time in my life to kind of pursue the things that every guy wants to do? Some adventure, maybe find God in someplace foreign, someplace far away. So I decided to go on a missions trip to Africa for a few months. And I went out there. In my first week, I was given an invitation by a Maasai family in Kenya. Don't know if you know anything about the Maasai people, but a lot of them live in the traditional culture. You know, they still hunt with spears and that sort of thing. They live out in the bush. This family that I had been connected with during the regular week, they worked in the city, Nairobi. They wore a suit and ties. Kids went to school. But on the weekends, they'd go out to the bush. So they invited me on one of these trips. And it took us all day to get out to the property where they were. There were no roads out there. We just rode out in the savannah in a truck. You're bouncing around. You can't talk. All day, we arrived at night, and Josiah, the dad, said, hey, you're going to go sleep out with my son outside. You know, we've got the small hut. There's not enough room. You'll be safe out there. He'll protect you. And so there's a 16-year-old boy, pretty good, you know, strong kid, but it's like, what's he going to do? Well, he has his spear. You see, you know, when he was 14, you know, we know he knows what he's doing because he killed a hyena with a spear protecting the cattle, so you'd be fine. Plus, there's a fence out there. It's about that high, you know, but so you might need him. So I went out and I slept in this tent. I think this is a really interesting experience. You know, I had a chance to talk to this young guy. I found out that he had was going to the best school in the country. His mom was a teacher, so she had an inroad there, the same school the president went to. He's a star athlete, rugby, track and field. His best sport was the javelin, interestingly enough. So as I talked, he's a really cool kid. He's kind of seen the world being in the school that he is, exposed to all kind of people. You know, and I'm like, I wonder where he's at spiritually. And so he started to talk about his own faith and his own life. And I quickly discovered that that 16-year-old boy was way past where I was in his maturity level. And he was talking about, you know, the things that I do in track and field, the things that I study, I want to do to fulfill the will of God. Because I realized that, you know, there may be things I want to do in life, and that's fine, but there's something that God has out there for me. I want to find out what that is and pursue that. Because living as he did in that tribal culture, seeing a lot of people who weren't in Christ, they saw dramatically the difference between being in Christ and being out of Christ. And so that's the life he lived. And as I slept there next to him, we had this conversation, my thinking began to change. I had gone to Kenya to have some adventure, you know, to kind of do the thing guys do. Yes, I love God, and I knew that we could find love, joy, and peace in pursuing him. But this was sort of my own agenda while I was out there. As I talked to that young boy, my thinking began to change. It was one of those crisis points in your life where you see God changing you. And all of a sudden, I started to see that maybe God has a specific plan for the way that he wants me to use in the world. And I don't know, maybe it was because I was in a weird country being protected by a teenager with a spear. But it became very real to me, the mission that we have here, to serve God with all of our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, this morning as we come here, and we come to answer that question, what do you have for my life? What is your will for my life? What is my destiny? Lord, I pray that you would be with us, that you'd open our hearts and minds to your word. And out of that, Lord, that we would just be filled with your spirit, and then pour that out into the lives of other people. We ask this in Jesus' name. So this morning, what I want to talk about is what is God's specific plan for my life? What does he want for your life, for our lives? Is there a destiny that he's calling us to? What's his will? You know, as I ask that question, I think it might be good to kind of shorten it a little bit and ask, what does God want in the first place? Because maybe there's a master plan. Maybe there's an ultimate plan. Maybe there's something he's trying to achieve with us here on earth, maybe even in heaven, that's bigger than any one individual plan that we have. So this morning, I want to first take us to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. It says this, "And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." So as Paul is writing this to the Ephesians, he's recognizing that the mystery, that God's will has been a mystery, that the people of God at that time didn't have a full understanding of it, but now that it's being disclosed. They didn't have the understanding that the Jews weren't just the people of God, that God intended to bring all of the nations together to reconcile them to himself, to offer salvation through the price that he paid on the cross. He recognized that in this world there is sin and it's corrupted not only our relationship with him, but all the things that we experience, disease and death. So the mystery of God's will is being revealed according to his good pleasure. God delighted in this. This plan that he's bringing about, this ultimate plan for all of us, is something that he planned before the beginnings of time that he just had great delight in, and it was his good pleasure to accomplish. He says he did this and he purposed this in Christ. And so the plan is being lived out through Jesus and through who he is. And this plan is something that's bigger than any of us. And as it's being lived out in Christ, it says that it's being summed up in Jesus, that all things will be gathered together in him. If we look at that original language in Ephesians, we see that what God is doing is taking all the things that are broken and separated from him, and he's bringing them all together under the lordship and authority of Christ. But it's even more than that. The distance that we feel with him will no longer be there. At the end of time, at the apex of history, as it says there in the scripture, in the fullness of time, he'll bring everything under the summation of the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is the master plan that we're living in right now. That it's going to be all about Jesus. When we come to heaven, we're playing golf on a beautiful golf course. Jesus isn't in the clubhouse, he's there with us. Whatever we do at that point will be about Christ, and he'll be at the center of it. This is the ultimate story. This is God's story for us. This is his will for humanity, for mankind. You might say, well, that's great, you know, that we have this, but what about me and my own personal life? I want to take us to Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. This is one of the favorite verses that people have. It brings so much encouragement and inspiration to them. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." You know, when we read these in a difficult time, we just say, yes, I know there's hope in these circumstances because I know that God has a specific plan for me in this. Not to harm me, to prosper, but to prosper me. That I have a hope in the future that this won't last forever, but that he can rescue me from this. So as Christians, we see this, we say, hallelujah, God has a specific plan for us. But there's a problem with this verse. I hope you have your permission to take a little hermeneutical journey right here. Hermeneutics is the art of Bible interpretation. And the problem with this verse, it was written to the Jews at a specific time in their history. Jeremiah was a prophet. The Jews were in captivity in Babylon, and so he's writing to them in their specific situation, to all of those people, and he says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, the plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you hope in a future, because right now in captivity, you don't feel like you have a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I'll be fine. Found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." So this is written to a specific people in a specific time. We have to take a little bit of caution here because as we open our Bibles and read things, not all things are intended for us. But in hermeneutics, it says, well, maybe this can be appropriated for our lives. Maybe we can read these verses and claim them if we find parallel thoughts in other parts of Scripture that kind of agree with it. It may not have all of this, but maybe there are parts that show us that we do have a hope, that there are good things for us. I want to take us there to Romans 8, 28 through 32. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" So as we look at this verse, we look at parallels between this verse and the verse in Jeremiah, we can say, yeah, there are some things here. You know, God is predestining, he's purposing history for good. You know, and at the end of all this, all good things will be given to us. So I think, you know, as we look through other scriptures,